are listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin, and today we're talking television. Joining me all the way from our Toronto bureau is John Doyle, TV critic for The Globe and Mail. Whatever the results of the US election, it doesn't look as if Donald Trump is going anywhere soon. We'll be looking at the possible launch of Trump TV. We'll also be examining the return of a great villain on The Walking Dead and looking at the relaunch of the much-loved by some Gilmore Girls. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Thanks very much for joining us, John. Now, either in the White House or on his own channel, it seems as if Donald Trump is to be a permanent presence on our screens one way or another. Or will he? The launch of Trump TV doesn't seem to be gaining a lot of traction. What can you tell us about the Donald's latest business venture?
Well, Georgina, this is speculative at this point, but the FT, the Financial Times, which is not given to spreading unfounded rumors, did report last week that one of the Trump family was in talks with investors about the possibility of a Trump TV channel, certainly a Trump TV outlet of some kind. And it is being taken seriously because it does actually make sense as a post-election possibility for Trump. I suspect that there is no confirmation of this from inside the Trump camp right now, because to acknowledge that he has a venture he is eyeing beyond Election Day would suggest that he knows he's not going to win and he has something else in mind. However, I think the possibility of him losing is the one that actually gives this idea some traction. There is a business basis for a Trump TV outlet going forward after the election.
Do you think it would attract advertisers, though? I wonder about businesses wanting to be associated with what's becoming really quite a toxic brand.
There is that possibility. However, there is still a considerable number of people, tens of millions, who support Donald Trump. And one of the interesting things, I think, that give viability to the idea of a Trump TV outlet is the fact that many of his followers and people who will vote for him are already disgusted with the existing media. This is in part because Trump, in his haranguing speeches, attacks the mainstream media, from everything from CNN to Fox. He really only has one fervent supporter left on Fox News, and that's Sean Hannity. So all of the existing media in print and in television has been excluded or is already hated by Trump's followers. So when that happens, it creates a vacuum, and that vacuum has to be filled, and it could well be filled by a Trump TV channel that would play to the fears, angers, animosities, conspiracies of many of his followers take seriously. They want to hear what they want to hear.
That would be the tone of the station. What do you think the content might be?
Well, this became something of a joke immediately after the announcement or the story that Trump was possibly talking in about a TV channel to come. I mean, and it is initially fodder for you know, comic speculation. Even I wrote a bit about this in which I joked that what kind of content might a Trump TV channel have? I mean, if there was to be a movie slot, would it be called The Nasty Woman movie slot? And would it feature the movie Gone Girl in endless rotation? Because the central character does, of course, lie, collude with the corrupt media, and that only proves Donald Trump's point about nasty women and the corrupt media. I would leave a speculation about the bad Hombres movie slot to listeners and to readers as to what exactly might be in there. But to be serious, and I think this does have to be taken seriously, this would certainly not be something like Bloomberg Television, where you have a billionaire who made his money through financial information and has established a financial information channel that is reliable. I think this would be a sort of light news channel with a lot of filler about the terrible things that would and could happen to the U.S. Under a Democratic administration. It would mainly, and I think this is the most important thing, be in sort of permanent opposition to the Hillary Clinton presidency. And that, I think, is the sort of danger part of it, given Trump's proclivity for conspiracy theories and hatred of minorities and suspicion of outsiders. I think such a channel would certainly feed the conspiracies, the anger, the resentment, and it could, in fact, be a powerful opposition to a Hillary Clinton presidency that had won with a solid majority.
Well, Trump TV channel may not come up Trump's, but you can guarantee, I think, that the man himself will still find a way to impinge on our consciousness one way or another. Let's move on, and just in time for Halloween, another bad hombre coming up, because The Walking Dead has returned. This is season 7. So, John, just give us a quick rundown on the season so far.
Well, this season so far has comprised the first episode, which was a stunner. It aired in the US on Sunday night, and I believe in the UK and parts of Europe on Monday night. It was a stunning episode. I think accurately described by some as just over an hour of torture porn. It was incredibly bleak. As everybody knew in advance, and this is not a spoiler, at least one of the main characters from the series dies in it in the opening episode, and dies very badly. That is, it's a brutal killing. What's happened at the end of the last season was that this small ragtag band of survivors in the post-apocalyptic zombie world finally meet the character who was established in the comics and books upon which it's based as a monster of violence. And he, in that first episode, does make it clear that violence is his modus operandi, and it is brutal violence, and that he intends to inflict terrible violence on people who do not do as he says. What he says is he wants this small group of people who have survived so far in this post-apocalyptic world to supply things to him, things that will be useful to him and to his band of aggressive, obnoxious, violent men, whether it's goods and services, whatever, they have to supply him every week or else they will be killed and brutally killed.
So, of course, the rest of the run is going to be following that plot line, I expect.
Yes, it will. The way The Walking Dead has evolved, and one of the reasons why it's a juggernaut of a TV series, it commands, it looms over everything on television in North America on Sunday nights when new episodes air. The reason is that it's about this small group of people who sort of lurch from one situation to another trying to survive. It has been nihilistic from the very start in that every character in it is just seconds away from death. It is the basis of the show is that, and life is transitory. You could be attacked by zombies or by marauding bands of other survivors and be killed at any time, at any moment. That is the sort of dramatic basis for the show. What's interesting now, I think, is that the final episode of last season and the first episodes of this season, it became less about action and more about talk. There was a lot of standing around and characters giving lengthy speeches, including Negan, the extremely violent leader. And there was not much action to it. It was for me, there was way too much standing around with sort of theatrical scenes and people being terrified and violence being threatened without much of the action that is typical of the show unfolding.
Mm-hmm. So that's The Walking Dead. It's on AMC. The first episode of 8 in the Series 7 kicked off on October the 25th, and you can expect the final 8 in February next year. It's shown on Fox here in the UK. Now, there are plenty of fans of the fast-talking, autumn-hued Gilmore Girls out there, and plenty who loathe it too. The show started out life back in 2000 on the former Warner Brothers network and followed the lives of mother and daughter Lorelai and Rory Gilmore. The series ran for 7 seasons, and now, 10 years after the final season, the show's returning for 4 special episodes on Netflix under the title Gilmore Girls: A Year in the Life. John, is this one you're particularly looking forward to?
No. Georgina, it's not one of my favorites. It never was, but as a critic and someone who studies the industry, I understand the appeal of it, and I understand why it's being revived by Netflix. This has become part of Netflix's business model. It has deep pockets. It is able to revive shows that it knows from studies of people's tastes what shows people are nostalgic for, what shows they would like to see more episodes of. I mean, they've done this with Arrested Development, and to some degree of success. They did, I think, Full House, a network comedy show that a lot of people associated with, you know, their adolescence. Now it's doing Gilmore Girls because there is certainly, I think, among a female audience, there is a hunger for more Gilmore Girls. I never took to the show, and one of the reasons why, I think, is that, you know, any of us who study the industry, we're aware that when Gilmore Girls was launched, it was actually the product of something called the Family Friendly Programming Fund. This was something set up back then by national advertisers in the U.S. to fund and help put on the air programming that was family friendly, promoted American values, that was not subversive. So I was always suspicious of it because it came out of that fund, which is advertiser driven.
Now, of course, in the interim, in this 10 years it's been off air, there's been the real life death of Edward Herman. He played Richard Gilmore. Will that be addressed, do you think?
I'm sure it will. The creator of Gilmore Girls has made it clear that this Netflix thing is it's a mini-series. There are 4 episodes, and each goes 90 minutes to 2 hours. Each is set during one season, that is summer, winter, spring, fall. And the intention is to wrap up the show, to end it as she saw it ending when the show was on the air. And it was remarkable that most of the characters, almost all of the characters who were involved with the show when it ran, will be returning. They were able to get the actors who played their original parts, although many of them have gone on to greater success. They were able to bring all of them back for this series. So I think it is something that will certainly satisfy the fans of the show. And it is good business for Netflix to be able to do that. There's actually considerable anticipation about this miniseries from fans of the show.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? What's the enduring appeal?
Well, the enduring appeal, I think, is there in the first 2 or 3 seasons of it, in that it's upbeat, and it follows a format that sort of went out of favor in mainstream American television in the 1980s. That is, it's set in a small town, but it's very much a well-off town. It's a very bourgeois show. The central character, played by Lauren Graham, is a single mother with a teenage daughter who runs a bed and breakfast in this very pretty New England town. And it chronicles the eccentrics who live in the town, her romances, her daughter's romances, good or bad. And things do go awry on Gilmore Girls, which is something that its fans certainly appreciated. It wasn't always happy and sweet, but the overall tone of the show is very optimistic. It's upbeat in that way. Its tone is set from the opening credits of each episode. The song associated with it is very much upbeat. It's very optimistic. It tells you that no matter what happens, life is good. There are good things around the corner. It has a sort of saccharine quality to it, but it's not drenched in saccharine.
Well, let's hear a clip from the trailer that Netflix recently released. So here we join Lorelai and Rory in the kitchen.
Do you think Amy Schumer would like me?
No.
Why? It's not like I'm perpetually armed, or at sundown I turn into one of those vampires with no sense of humor, or I have that plant strapped to me that only blooms once every 50 years and smells disgusting.
What plant?
That plant. People line up to see, even though it smells like dead fish. What are you doing?
Looking up that plant.
Oh, this is not a teachable moment. We're having a very serious conversation here.
Corpse flower. Some only bloom once a decade.
Happy?
I like knowing things.
Tell me, why wouldn't Amy Schumer like me?
Water sports.
What?
And that's a clip of The Gilmore Girls, like the plant back after a decade. The Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life, which will be available on Netflix from the 24th of November. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Very many thanks to my guest, John Doyle in Canada. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. This show was produced by Holly Fisher. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow for our book review. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.